As the Great Barrier Reef succumbs to one of the worst coral bleaching events on record today, the Environment Minister, Tanya Plibersek, has unveiled details of a much-anticipated National Independent Environment Watchdog. The Federal Environment Protection Agency will have statutory powers to issue stop work orders and issue fines for breaches up to $780 million. But the government has once again delayed reforms to the Environmental Protection and Biodiversity Conservation Act, as advised by a major review of Australia's environment protection laws. The man behind that review is Professor Graeme Samuels, who joins me now. Welcome to you.
Good afternoon.
The new watchdog the government has announced, the Federal Environment Protection Agency, or EPA, what would it look like? And is it what you wanted?
Yes, look, we can call them different things. I talked about an Environment Assurance Commissioner. The EPA is basically the same thing. It is a party that will enforce the laws insofar as state governments and territory governments don't do it. It'll oversee what state and territory governments do in relation to their application of the laws. And so it all fits in. It's an oversight body and an enforcement and compliance body. I was concerned when I did the report back in 2020 that there was not really a compliance culture within the Department of the Environment at federal level. It tended to sort of to take a pretty light touch to enforcement. And I see here that the penalties that could be imposed by the EPA are close to $750 million, which is big money. So I think the minister's really laying down the law and saying, we've got to protect the environment, we've got to protect nature, and we've got to try and restore the environment in Australia, which frankly has gone through 25 years of abysmal decline and abysmal ignorance, if you like, on the part of all parties involved, because we've had this shocking piece of legislation called the Environment Protection and Biodiversity Conservation Act. I called it a bit earlier today, 1,500 pages of legislation and regulation that were simply gobbledygook.
We obviously already have state-based EPAs. You've said that there's sort of a bit of a light touch when it comes to enforcement. The federal EPA would be a separate entity from the government, an independent statutory body. Will it have enough power, in your mind, to ensure that people and companies are doing the right thing?
Yes, well, the way it's been announced by the minister today, I think that is certainly going to be the case. Look, what we've got at the moment is a stage of reforms, three or four stages. That was in accordance with the recommendations that I made in the review report back in 2020, that there should be three stages of reform. People are interpreting this as saying, oh, well, the minister is backing off. She's not determined to undertake the full reform. I think they ought to just take a chill pill for the moment, just wait and see. And I direct that advice of the chill pill to both conservationists and to business, particularly the mining industry, which clapping at the moment and saying, oh, we've won, we're going to get a deferral of all these reforms. And then the conservation movement is saying they're dismayed and disappointed because there'd be a deferral. They ought to just wait and see. See, what we've got is, as I mentioned before, 1,500 pages of gobbledygook in terms of legislation. It needs to be scrapped, burnt in the bonfire and started from the beginning. Now, you don't do that without a lot of work, a lot of consultation, and taking account, if you like, of the recommendations made in that report and that review that I did back in 2020, but just making sure that it is absolutely right. And then we'll see what comes as time progresses in the next few months.
If you've just joined me, it's 26 minutes past five. Professor Samuel Graeme, my apologies, is talking to us about the new Federal Environment Protection Agency announced by the government and reforms to environmental protection laws here on RN Drive. I mean, your review found that the EPBC Act was failing. There is this question about whether the government delayed reforms to the Act. Is that at all disappointing to you?
Well, not as far as this government is concerned. You've got to remember that this is a highly complex exercise with, as I've said over and over, 1,500 pages of gobbledygook that really need to be removed. It was all process-driven. It wasn't focusing on outcomes. And so the recommendations I made was that we had a simpler, shorter act that particularly focused on what I've called national environmental standards. And these standards, some drafts of which were included in the report, needed to be refined and to really be sure that they were quite granular, I've used that expression, in other words, quite specific as to what is expected. Now, those standards will ultimately apply not only at the Commonwealth level, but state and territory level. And the fascinating thing is this, is business has missed the fact that if these reforms are put in place, then we'll have much speedier and efficient and less costly applications for approval and determinations, because we won't duplicate both at Commonwealth and at state level. Conservation movement have missed the fact that what we're going to have is environmental standards that will make it very, very clear what it is that will be permitted and what it is that won't be permitted. And I call this really a self-help mechanism, so that if someone, be it in the mining community or be it a property developer or a farmer, want to do something that might have an impact on the environment, well, they'll go through the following stages. They'll read the Act. They'll then look at the environmental standards, the national environmental standards, and they'll see whether or not they've satisfied all of those. They'll look at some guidelines that the government will lay out, so that those guidelines are there to help you understand what's about. I'm hoping that what the government will also do is to allow the publication of rulings of previous applications that have been made, a bit like the tax office does with its tax rulings. And then finally, one of the things I'd love to see happen is the establishment or the pulling together of a cohort of expert, independent advisors who are there to be called upon by applicants, and they can say, look, we've done all these things. We've still got three or four things that we're a bit uncertain about. Would you look over our application before it goes into government and tell us whether or not it's appropriate, or whether or not it satisfies all the requirements? And those advisors will do that. Now, if you go through all that process, can you imagine how much quicker and more efficient it's going to be for business, the mining industry, farmers, conservationists to be able to say, yes, they've done everything that was required, and that makes it much easier for the EPA or state delegates to be able to do their checks
we'll have
and to come up with the answers.
We'll have to leave it there. Professor Graham Sagnol, appreciate your time.
Thank you.